Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Would you stand with me, please? Let me just read this one scripture here to begin with in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'd like for you to notice down there starting in, let's start in verse number 9. Verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were, that's past tense, such were some of you. But ye are washed. Thank God for wash day. You're washed, but you're sanctified, but you are justified in the name, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you might bless the reading of thy word tonight. And Father, we truly thank you for this day and what a blessing these people have been to me, and this pastor and this dear wife have been to me and to my wife. Thank you, Father, for the way that you bless them here. I thank you, Father, for their friendship. And Father, I pray that you might bless this church. I pray that you'll be with this pastor and the staff as they go forth and serving thee in a greater way, even in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How many remember when you could wash clothes and actually hang it on a clothes? How many know what a clothesline is? Some of you folks know. You don't look like you're too much city folks. After all, I mean, you know about clothesline. And you know how good they smell when the sun's been shining on them? You know, isn't that something? Wash day. Wash day. And I want to talk for just a few minutes, until I get through, about wash day tonight. Amen. Turn, if you would, now to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. In Exodus chapter 30, I want to try to bring out some things to you. I hope we'll be a blessing to you and something that you can take with you. And one of the things that I like about this church is the friendliness. I told the preacher this afternoon, I see him hugging the little kids. I miss the kids. We don't have a Christian school where I am now, but I enjoy the Christian school. Used to be you drive up in recess time, you can't hardly get in the office because you got to get down and hug the kids. I miss that. And I told your pastor, the way he does it, you can tell it's natural, it's not put on. It's natural, it's not put on. He loves it. He loves it. In Exodus chapter 30, I'd like for you to start there, if you would, please, in verse number 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot of brass, to wash with oil. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. And when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And there shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. God saying, don't come into my presence dirty. Don't come into my presence dirty. It doesn't make any difference if you're a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Methodist, a Jewish, that's not saved. Don't come into his presence dirty. Make sure there's some washing that has been going on. He says, I'll wipe you out if you come into my presence dirty. If you come into my presence dirty, you're going to die. That's what he was telling Moses and Aaron. And when those priests would go into the temples, like on the Day of Atonement, my friend, they went in fearful because I wonder if they done everything exactly right like it should be. Otherwise, they might be snapped out. Don't come into my presence dirty. Now, you need to be some washing. It's not talking about the baptistry. That's not the washing we're talking about, amen? But there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all its guilty stain. Listen, that's the one we're talking about. If we had time tonight to go through the book of Leviticus, we find there when a leper was healed by the prophets of God of his leprosy, he was not free just to go back to town. He was not free to go to his home. He was not free to go back to church. My friend, we find he had some washing done. Some washing done. Had to be some washing of his body and some washing of his clothes and some washing of his head. And those washings went on for a solid week. There had to be some washing done. And those washings, dear friend, were something that was so important for him at that time. I believe it signifies to us today that when we get saved, that we're washed, we're cleansed. But there needs to be that daily cleansing, that foot washing that Jesus talked to Simon Peter about there in the upper room. That daily cleansing. And throughout the Bible, you find that that remains to be true. I think of old Naaman. Remember Naaman and the leper? He went to see the prophet, and he just knew what they were going to have was a big healing meeting. Old Naaman had it figured out. He thought he'd go and he'd have this big meeting, a red, white, and blue tent, have a long line of people that's going to be prayed for. He thought the prophet would come out, lay hands upon him, and heal him. The prophet didn't even come out. You remember the story. He said, tell him to go wash in the Jordan 7 times. That wasn't what he wanted to hear. There's no healing powers in the Jordan. He went away in a huff. I mean, he was upset. He was upset, let me tell you. But you know, this man need to realize that God is in the cleansing business. He's in the cleansing business. There's some cleansing necessary along the road. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30, verses 11 and 12. Proverbs 30, 11 and 12. In Proverbs chapter 11, chapter 30, verse number 11 and 12, listen to this. There's a generation that curseth their father. It doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet are not washed from their filthiness. I dare say that's where we are tonight. I'm afraid we're in that generation right now that are not washed from their filthiness. And yet they say, we're fine. We'll go to heaven if anybody will. After all, I haven't murdered anybody. They got it all figured out. They say, I've been a good neighbor, I've been a good son or a good daughter, a good father, a good mother. We're fine. They're pure in their own eyes. And they're not washed from their filthiness. I want to tell you something. They're deceived. They're deceived. There's no purity from sin until you're washed in that fountain that I mentioned a moment ago. Has to be. That washing must come from the eternal God and nowhere else. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. And while you're turning to Ezekiel chapter 16, I believe that we can point out here that Jesus is talking to the people of Jerusalem. Without doing the scripture any harm whatsoever, I think we can kind of apply it to our day and not harm the scripture whatsoever. And so notice it, please, starting there in verse number 1 of Ezekiel chapter 16. And again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, that thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Their father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, or swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out into the open field, to the loathing of thy person, in the day that thou wast born. Oh, listen, God says to the people there of Jerusalem, he says, when I came to you, it was like you were being born of an unwed mother that didn't want you. When you were first born, she didn't cut the cord right. She just cut the cord between the two of them. She didn't cut up by your navel like she should have. Oh, she hated the whole situation. She hated that baby because it was in her bosom so long. She hated the father that had impregnated her. She hated the whole situation. When that baby was born, then she went out that day and she threw that baby out in the field and it rolled over in the dirt. Won't be long before the ants and bugs are going to eat that baby. Old dirty baby. And God says to the people of Jerusalem, when I saw you, you were like that dirty baby out there in the field and out there in the dirt. The people of Jerusalem, when I found you, you were a baby like in the field. Nobody had washed you. Nobody cared anything about you. Nobody cleansed your eyes of the filth of the earth. Nobody cleansed your nostrils. Nobody had cleansed your mouth. You were despised. You were hated. Nobody wanted you. And the woman just threw that baby out in the field. May I say to you, when the devil gets through with you, he doesn't want you. Nobody wants you. Nobody wants you. Dirty baby, roll over in the dirt. She just threw that baby out in the field, and soon it would be consumed out in the field. Remember now, this is an analogy between the lost people and their relationship with God and the people of Jerusalem and their relationship with God. Notice that as we look in verses 4 and 5 and 6. 4, 5, and 6. And as for thy nativity, and the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in the water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swallowed at all. None I pitied thee and to do any of these things, unto thee, and have compassion upon thee. But when thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing thy person, and the day that thou wast born, and when I passed by thee. Thank God when he passes by. I mean, things change when he passed by. I kind of checked on you a minute ago. How many remembers Lester Roloff? That name, Lester Roloff. Oh, yeah. What Lester Roloff was going to say next. But he might do like, one sat along beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind. The light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his blindness see. Oh, I tell you, it's, you think about those old people. Wait a minute, I'm getting old. Well, let's get off of that subject, will you? But I think about Brother Lilroff and about singing when Jesus passed by. Now then, things are looking up here in Ezekiel. We find when he passed by, it says, when he passed by, and when I passed by thee, he sees this baby that's just been born. And he has compassion. Thank God for compassion. I'm thankful for tears. There's so many people that seem to be hard nowadays. They don't seem to be moved to tears. I like to see people when they're singing a song, perhaps it will get next to their heart. Perhaps they're not able to get through it, begin to weep. Thank God for compassion. And God, when he passed by, saw this baby, dirty baby, dirty baby. I want to tell you, when the baby was born about 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, that's grace. When that little boy about 12 years old was teaching in the temple, that's grace. when Jesus was spat on in Pilate's hall. That's grace. Away from the law, bring on grace. I want to tell you something. You can go out to that baby in the field and begin to quote the Ten Commandments, and that baby is going to do nothing but die. You can go out in the field and say to that baby, baby, do good, baby. Do good, baby. That baby is going to die. Away with the law. Bring on grace. Bring on grace. And so it's the passing by the Savior that makes the difference. And there in verse number 6, let's go ahead and read a little more here. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I say unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Live. A brand new covenant. God's covenant is not to die, but to live. But to live. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're saved? And God looks down at this baby. And the banner over that baby is love. I'm thankful for the day that God reached down and saved me. 12 years old, sitting on the back pew. The preacher had been reading my mail that I never got. Seemed like he knew all about me. Invitation came. I don't remember coming down the aisle. I hope I was dignified. I do remember going in the side room on this side, and an attorney, George Cowart, led me to the Lord. He on one side of a cane-bottom chair, and I on the other. And I got saved that night. Hadn't been saved since, amen? What a change in life when Jesus reaches down, when Jesus, Savior God, says to that baby, baby, you don't have to die. Baby, you can live. The covenant is to live. And my friends, sinners don't have to go to hell. And God wants them to live. He wants them to be saved. He wants to be born again. And we find that there's a brand new covenant. The covenant, baby, live, baby, live. Now, I want you to notice verse number 7. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to an excellent ornament. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. He says, when I found you, you were naked and bare. When he found me, I was naked in my sin, didn't have a thing, no righteousness whatsoever. Thank God for his righteousness. Amen. Thank God for His righteousness. One of these days, we'll be going through the gates of glory, going to have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, have on that robe of righteousness that we get only from Him. Only from Him. Notice it as we go on in verse number 8. It says, now, when I passed by thee, and looked, and behold thee, behold, thy time was a time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee. He spread out his garment over him now. He's covered now. That baby's covered. Not a naked baby now. He's covered that baby. He's covered the baby. And so we find this individual has been covered over. God has pulled that garment over that individual, that little baby there in the field. Oh, notice it as we go on. There in verse number 8, continue. I spread my skirt over thee and cover thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and enter into a covenant with thee, and saith the Lord, and thou, the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Amen. Thou becamest mine. Aren't you glad you're His? When you think about what God has done for us, I was in a home last Thursday night. I was trying to tell a family. Excuse me, I got to blow my nose. God wants people that's not saved to be saved. There's no way you can comprehend His desire to such an extent that it is. There's no way you can comprehend it. There's no way you can really comprehend the love of God. There's no way you can really do that. And that individual that you've been praying for, that individual that you think, well, they ever going to get saved? By the way, Bill Gleschner, like 2 months, been 17 years before Bill got saved. Like 2 months being 17 years. But God so loves an individual. God so loving you, Lord, that He sent His Son. To think about the terrible, terrible death that Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary, that we might be saved. Well, listen, let's go to one other scripture. Some of you would think, well, that's back in the Old Testament. I don't believe that in the Old Testament. I'll just go by the New Testament. Well, okay, let's go to Titus chapter 3, verse 3. Titus 3:3. Bring it up where you can get a hold of it. Bring it up so you can accept it. And you would say, okay, I did find it in the New Testament. All right, all right. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 3. Titus 3:3. Well, first of all, you need to get out of Timothy. Now then, Titus, chapter 3, verse number 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, giving in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness of the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration. There's the washing. The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly. Well, where are you going to get the water for all that washing? Where are you going to get the oil for the anointing? And it says through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Savior. I started out over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And there in verse number 11, I shared with you, and such were some of you, but you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God held a great glowing balance, and one side was waiting for me. The other side held such perfection as God demanded there be. Then God held the scale in the middle, and my side soared high with my shame. I cried for my side to be balanced. Then Jesus, my Savior, stepped in. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. The sins I've committed are all in the past. They'll never condemn me, for He holds me fast. I'm justified, I'm justified, and I'm happy in Jesus today. Amen. It might be that we have somebody here tonight. You've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, you may be a church member. You may be a member of this church, but you've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know, God can save a murderer. He saved Moses. God can save a drunkard. He saved Noah. Save an adulterer. He saved David. He saved a liar. He saved Peter. But you can't find in 66 books of the Bible where God would save a proud person. I can tell you what they're thinking. They're saying to themselves, what will people think if I get saved? People think I'm already saved. What would they think if I were to go down and get saved? Let me tell you what Christians would think. They say, praise God. Praise God. Don't worry about what people think. You better worry about what the Master thinks. What the Master thinks. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you might bless the message now that's gone forth. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.